You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and today's episode is with Gabrielle Applin. Once in a while, we will have guests on the show who clearly don't need any introduction whatsoever. And then I remember that naturally, there are people listening who might be unfamiliar with the guest, regardless of the achievements and the accolades they've accumulated over the years. Today's guest definitely falls under the category of someone you should know, but don't worry, there's definitely time to catch up. Especially now off the heels of her latest EP, Avalon. I always say that the best gift is artists who challenge themselves when they don't have to, and this latest body of work is a firm example of just that. We talk about her experience making Avalon, and we also go into what she hopes that her next project will bring her. This is the 405 Exchange with Gabrielle Applin. Enjoy. So just to like show what a strong testament there is to your music, it's actually a pretty funny story how I first heard your album English Rain.
Okay, go on.
I was working at this office and there was a secretary that I was into. I was trying to like chat her up, and it was the type of thing where I was thinking about what could I talk about. So music came up naturally.
Yeah.
And she recommended your album to me.
Oh, really?
And I ended up loving your album so much that I ended up totally forgetting on hitting on her. And anytime I would talk to her, I just
and didn't work out with her?
Oh, nothing. Like, we just ended up being mates. But like,
Okay.
Anytime I would talk to her after that, instead of hitting on her, I'd just be like, but this album though.
Like, so. Okay, go back to that. I've ruined it basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Alf?
Yeah.
Sorry. Did you find them?
I did, yeah.
You're an angel. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry.
No, of course, yeah. So, I saw a
clip. Found out about my album.
Yeah, exactly.
That's mad.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious, yeah. No, but we're still mates to this day, and like, she's still a big fan. I reckon she's gonna be here tonight, so that'd be pretty cool, yeah.
Nice.
I saw a clip of you performing Miss You at Glastonbury last year, and when I was watching that, it was so clear to me how performing has become important for you. I would love to hear how that evolution's kind of happened for you.
Yeah, I mean, Glastonbury is like, it's Glastonbury Festival, it's the most famous festival in the world. And it's my local festival as well. It's really magical. It's on solstice weekend.
Yeah.
It's a pretty magical, amazing festival. So it was really special for me anyway. That was a really amazing show, and I love performing and like having my band and doing like a Glastonbury kind of production thing and getting all the glitter out is amazing. But also I love songs, and I think it's storytelling, and I think it's really important to always know that you can strip it back to just its rawest form and just play like I'm doing on this tour, like just songs as well. So I love both. I think they're both really important, and I think, you know, for Glastonbury, that was an amazing thing to go out there and just do this, like, big thing, especially, it was like 11:30 in the morning as well. Okay, I have to do something to wake people up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also so nice to just go around and play an hour and a half of songs and, like, actually get into the songs and what they're about and what they're for. I think I think it's really important.
Yeah, I want to go backwards a little bit before we go into other stuff, particularly because I really want like to hit on a little bit more on like the aspect of performing. Can you remember the first time that you performed on stage and what that was like for you?
I can remember like my first headline show. But the first time I performed on a stage, it was in a teeny pub in Bristol. It was actually a really weird experience. I mean, it was fine. I played my songs and it was like my first ever gig. I was like, I don't know, I'm just getting paid £50. And that's like, I'm getting paid £50 to just, you know, play some songs in a pub. And so it was amazing, but my parents had a baby grand piano when we were growing up, and we moved into a smaller house, so we donated it to what we were told was an orphanage. And we're like, amazing, okay, well great, you got, you know. And then I turn up at this pub in Bristol to play my gig, and I sat down, and it was my old piano.
Was it really?
Yeah, they fucking lied, and it was in this pub. And I was like, because one of the ivory keys were broken, and it looked like a witch's hat where it cracked off, and I was like, what the fuck is this? You're going to be in orphanage. Like, what the hell?
So
that was my first, like, actual, show. But then my first headline show was in Manchester. And it was a bit of an experiment, actually, because I kind of started online. So I was like, I want to see if this works in the real world, because I didn't really want to be a YouTube artist. I wanted to be a commercial artist, but I was aware that it was an amazing platform at the time. And I just didn't want it to be my only, I didn't want to pigeonhole myself. I wanted to be, a proper commercial working artist.
Mm-hmm.
So I started putting out EPs, and I was like, look, let's see if this works in the real world. Let's see if this is genuine, and this amazing fan base that I've kind of built, as see if it's real, basically. And we just looked at our stats and saw that most of my likes on Facebook were in Manchester, or like, let's put a show on in Manchester and see what happens, and it sold out straight away. And that was the first moment where I was like, oh my god, this works, the internet is amazing. And I went up there, and I remember being really relaxed, more so than I am now. Like, I think I took my shoes off and I did it on the floor. I sat on the floor, like, I sat down.
Really?
And did it, yeah. It was really, it was amazing, yeah. It was small, it was like 100 tickets. But my first ever headline show, and that's what happened.
Yeah, the reason I asked that is because, and what I asked the first question as well, is because, like, looking at videos of you online performing over the years, especially, like, more recently, it's been really amazing, because I feel like now with where you're at as a performer, you have this clear aspect of control about you. I'm thinking specifically about watching a performance you did of Coming Home, and what I wonder, like, what's it like for you to have that attention of the audience like that? Like, what does it feel like to you?
I try not to think about it too much, because I start getting into like existential crisis. I try not to think about it. I just try and tell the song and the story as best I can. And I mean, that must have been from my last tour, the Coming Home video. And I've never been like super rock and roll, but like when I first started out, I was smoking and I was drinking and I was staying up and not getting sleep and I was eating badly and I was treating my body really badly, and I was just going on stage, not even warming up, and just kind of abusing my voice a little bit. And it was just, I started getting really ill, and I was cancelling loads of shows, I kept getting sick, chest infections and all sorts of horrible things. And then when I did my second album came out, with Dip Big UK tour, and I was like, I really need to get my shit together. So I started not smoking, which is the first thing I did. I was having a drink. I wasn't like getting shit faced. I was going to bed, like having enough sleep. I was eating really well. And I started warming up. And when I started warming up, I actually started paying really like a lot of attention to control and my voice. And then just kind of chilling out. Then when I realized that I didn't have to worry, because if I was taking care of myself, the gig was going to be fine. I then was able to start, instead of kind of trying everything I can to make sure my voice comes out, because I fucked it from like staying out late screaming and smoking, I was able to concentrate on performing, I suppose. I definitely feel like I'm in much more control.
Yeah, and I want to ask about some of your music. Like, one of the tunes that really got to me was Night Bus. And something I love about it, I mean, it is storytelling, but it's just the way the words connect to one another. Like, what is it like for you to write a song like that?
I don't think it ever has to, it just has to be real, and it doesn't have to be something that's directly happened to me, but it has to be something that I can identify with, or that I know, or that I've seen happen to a friend, or I've watched in a film. I literally have to know what it is. Otherwise it's not genuine. I feel like you can definitely tell if it's just not real.
Yeah.
And it can be a good song, and you can be like, oh, this is fun, I like this tune, I can dance to that, but like, you know when they haven't actually experienced it, you know when it's not real.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just think it has to be real, and as long as you're being honest, I think it's got to be good. I wrote that with my friend Liz, and I write a lot with her. I wrote Miss You with her as well. And we just kind of meet up and write songs about things that have happened to like my mates or her mates, or sometimes we just, that's kind of what we do. It just has to be real, it has to be about something. I can't just be like, just pulling out words out of nowhere just because they rhyme. It just doesn't really work for me.
No, I can understand that. And also from an instrumental standpoint of that song touches on what you do so well, having like electronic instrumentation, dancing around organic instruments. And I feel like the way you do it is so specific. Like, what do you think it is you enjoy about that contrast? Because it's something that I feel has grown to be quite prominent for you.
I definitely feel like I've got more confident with experimenting with these sounds as well. But I think for me, everything is like a huge fan of like songwriter, like I said. So like everything, you know, even though there are sounds like that on there, I will either write on a guitar or a piano, and that's how I write my songs. And I feel like the production has to reflect that, and it has to kind of do it justice. I think I can't just like shove a load of stuff on it just because it's trendy. But I also love experimenting with sounds, and like it'll just be something I hear in my head, and I'll explain it to the producer I'm working with, and that'll be the thing. Or like, yeah, I don't know. I try not to think about it too much. I just do what feels right. Like I can hear things in my head before they're done, and it's just about me finding the right person who can I can explain what is in my head to, and they'll get it without hearing inside my head. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I want to specifically ask you about the experience of Avalon, because I feel like with this body of work, it's probably the most eclectic and diverse you've allowed yourself to get on a project.
Yeah.
And you know, you brought up the word experimentation. I wonder, like, while you were in the studio crafting that, did you feel conscious that's what you were doing at the time, or?
No, I felt like I was letting go of my ego a little bit. I felt like there was a lot of expectation for me to just constantly have an acoustic guitar on me, because that's what I started out with, and like, I was just getting bored. and I let go of my ego, and I was like, do you know what, I want to play with this synth, or I want to use this mellotron, or I want to use this electric drum, and that's just what I think it should be. And yeah, I just kind of let go of those pressures and expectations and my ego, and was like, this is what these songs need to be. And instead of forcing them to sound a certain way, or forcing them to sound super organic and acoustic, I just wanted to produce them in the way that I thought would suit them best and what they needed to be the best they can be.
And what would you say that did for you creatively, letting go of your ego?
So it opened up so many doors. It wasn't just a guitar and a piano I could play with. I had all the instruments in the world that I could suddenly play with now.
Yeah.
It just so much more opportunities, I guess.
Yeah, well, I guess I don't mean to get too existential, but I guess I meant for you from a you standpoint, like when you're standing in that room and you have no more ego kind of holding you back, like does it feel kind of more freer in a way?
Yeah, definitely, way more free. Like I don't feel restricted. I feel like I can do whatever the hell I want. Which should be, and I think I'd just be really bored if I was just making like straight up acoustics and songwriter albums for the rest
of my life.
The
songs reflect that.
Huh?
I feel the songs reflect that, specifically on Avalon.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that comes across. Like, did that surprise you when you heard the songs back for the first time?
No, it just felt right. I was like, yeah, that's how it is. That's just how it is. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
I was really happy. Yeah, I was just really happy with it. I just decided to stop caring. I realised that the only thing that I was doing was making sure that, you know, I was scared of putting a synth on something in case a fan was like, oh, I love your acoustic stuff. And yeah, there were a couple of fans who were like, oh, I kind of wish that you would do something a bit more like English Rain. It's like, I probably will again. I'll probably do like an entirely acoustic guitar album, or I might do, I don't know, a banjo album, I don't know. But like, I just feel like this is something I have to get out of my system. And I think, especially when I play acoustic, I definitely feel like it reminds me that when everything is stripped back to the song, all of my songs, regardless of whether they're from my first album or what I've released recently, when they are performed in the same way, they definitely feel like they're part of the same bunch.
I think that's a testament to what I've heard from friends who've seen you live before, like the way your songs mesh together on a set list. It's very specific.
Yeah, I think so. Hope so anyway. I don't know, I should think about it. But like, I just put my songs together and take them. For some reason people want to come and see them, so.
You know, there's a performance you did of Battles at Union Chapel with Hudson Taylor and Hannah Grace, and that was truly beautiful, man. Like, that
Thank
was a really beautiful performance.
Yeah.
And for people listening, you'll find that performance on Gabrielle's YouTube page. And you have Hudson on the road with you again.
Yeah.
What's it been like to tour with him?
Great. I mean, Alfie is my fiance and Harry is my brother, so it's really good. I mean, like, it's actually really nice. I get quite, I mean, I'm not going to say I hate touring because that's really ungrateful, but because I love the 1 hour I'm on stage.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love talking to people like we're doing now, but I thrive on routine.
Yeah.
And similarities. So like when I'm in a different place every day, I'm a bit like, it takes me a while to get into it, and I do struggle. It's quite weird.
Yeah.
So it's nice having it at home with me. I mean, you can hear them sound checking now, and they're just great. We play together for like 7-8 years as well, so it's nice. Yeah, it just feels normal.
Yeah, it's literally family.
They're family, yeah. We are family, so yeah, it's nice.
That's really
it reminds me of like back in the day when like, I know Janis Joplin and Crosby, Stills and Nash and all that lot would all just like go and tour together. yeah, it's kind of cool. So it's a nice community.
That's really brilliant. You know, you're here in New York to perform at Barry Ballroom, and I feel for a lot of different musicians, they have stories to tell about why the city means something to them. I wonder for you, is this city quite significant to you in any way?
It's amazing. Like, this is my second time ever in New York. Yeah, like I've never really traveled abroad until I started doing music as a job. Like, we never really went far for like holidays and stuff when I was a kid and anything. So I think New York, I mean, are you from here?
I was born here and actually raised a bit in London and Southampton. And then moved here when I was 11, going on 12.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I guess you're like, you're from New York. But for me, I mean, it sounds so cliche, but it literally is like a film. It's really surreal. We were flying in today and looked out and we were like, oh, that's a Statue of Liberty. That's so weird. Like, it's, and I know, like, you're just like, yeah, okay, whatever, Statue of Liberty, fucking tourist. But like, it's just really surreal. Yeah. New York's, it's amazing actually. We got to the hotel at 1 today and I had to be ready for 3 to come here.
Yeah.
And they were telling us our rooms were ready and I was like, fuck, like, we'll have a shower. But I couldn't, so we just walked around and I had an amazing time. I think it's an amazing city, so yeah. Very happy to be here.
And something that I've noticed over the years from friends of mine have told me about your shows, because this is going to be the first time I'll see you tonight, which I'm looking forward to. But friends of mine have told me like how when you're at a Gabriella Aplin show, the crowd is very eclectic. Like, it's very much like,
oh, yeah, it's not like, I mean, what's happened now is that it's, you know, it used to be a lot of kind of younger females that were maybe my age that were kind of, they grew up with me, I guess, which is really cool.
Yeah.
They come with their parents, and their parents come, and then like, there are, you know, there are older people, and there are younger people, and different genders, and yeah, like, I don't really feel like my fan base are like teenage girls, or old men, or like, you know, there's so many people.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Does that, I mean, this might be a bit too heady to ask, but does that feel validating for you as a writer in some way? In the sense that, like, when you were talking before about knowing that the songs work as songs, knowing that it can translate past people of, like, different backgrounds and age groups, that must feel pretty empowering.
It's amazing. Well, that's, I think, what it should be. And, like, I think maybe it's because I'm not trying to write to anybody. I'm just trying to write stories, like I said, that people can decide what they want to take from them, I suppose. It's really nice. I was meeting some fans last night in Toronto. And like, I had like a couple who looked like in their 50s, who like flew in from somewhere, and then like this 19-year-old girl who's like, and then like some random guy. Like, it's really mixed. It's lovely, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to touch on a couple more things. Thanks for taking the time to chat. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
In regards to what you brought up before about touring, I've toured a bit before. And something about touring that's happened with me is that as much as I've enjoyed it, there are times where I find myself thinking, like, I want to get back to a specific place.
Yeah.
Or, like, reach a certain city on the tour where we might have an off day. So it's like, oh, I got to, like, be at a place that I feel very whole.
Yeah.
I wonder for you, do you feel like there's a specific place you feel, like, really whole or, like, at peace? That
On this tour in general?
In general, that you just, like, return to?
There's this gardens near my house. It's not called the Fairy Gardens. I call it the Fairy Gardens. It's not the Fairy Gardens. It's
they might take that name and start marketing.
I'm not telling them it's mine. I'm not going to tell anybody about this. But I get home. I always get home from, I mean, that's good because it's kind of getting a bit warmer now. I'm missing like the bitter bit of February and March while I'm away. Yeah. But I'll get back and it's like across the road from my house. It's like, there's like a manor house. That's not my house. And these big grounds and a big park. And then they have this teeny little garden off the side. And it's like, it's not teeny, but it's this walled, like, classic like, English garden with like flowers everywhere and like magnolia trees and a pond. And it's amazing, and I always like, I'll get home from tour and I'll literally stick my clothes in the washer, make a coffee in my takeaway cup, and go down to the Fairy Gardens.
That's incredible, wow. I can see how that'd be very like,
to wrap up.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. We're actually at the last question, which
makes
it very
awesome.
Easy. Yeah, but so I imagine because of the EP that you released, naturally you're probably working towards another album. I know that realistically there's definitely not a lot you can say about it, but something that I'm curious about in the regard,
I'm making an album, yeah, like this one doing.
Well, of course, yeah. But I guess what I want the question to be is, rather than ask you the specifics of the album, I'd much rather ask you, and this is probably going to be insane to ask because you're not in the studio right this second, but like, where do you think, when we as listeners listen to this new album eventually, where do you think we're going to find you? Like, what do you think we'll find you saying on this album?
Well, I mean, it's not named yet. I haven't got the artwork yet. I haven't done any of that. But I'm definitely at the kind of late stages of writing it. And then I'll get into production when I'm back. And I guess it's kind of a mush of the kind of most recent things I've been recording. Like Miss You and Waking Up Slow and those tunes. But also I feel like it's, there's some kind of like I've gone back to English Rain a little bit, but not production wise. I feel like I've come home a little bit, but I also feel like I'm really pushing myself as well, and I've really focused on songs, and that's why I'm still writing it and it hasn't been finished. But yeah, I kind of hope that it feels familiar for people when they're listening to it. It's kind of what I hope. I want it to feel warm.
Yeah. Well, looking forward to hearing it. Gabrielle, thanks for taking the time to chat.
No, thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.